Good morning once again. This morning we're going to be looking primarily again at one particular book. It's in the book of 3 John. This was another sermon that I put together a couple months ago, and it wasn't until last night that I kind of had a panic moment, because I realized where I came up with this sermon was when I was here last time in your Bible class. So hopefully, I know it'll be a good study, or I think it'll be a good study, but something that's going to be very familiar with you. But we'll go ahead and go with it. This is a small book, but I think it's an important book, and we can draw so many lessons out of it. And we're going to look closely at three individuals and their lives and see how our lives compare to them. There are many times in our studies that we wonder what the early church was like. You know, we study a lot about the early leaders like Paul and Peter, but what about the average Christian in the early church? We ask the question, maybe were they more spiritual than Christians today? Did they experience the kinds of problems we face today? Well, I feel that the book of 3 John gives us a good look into these questions, but most importantly, we must all, as individual Christians, as we go through this study and through our lives, determine what kind of Christian we are going to be. The Christian that we need to be. So I'd like to just simply start by looking and reading 3 John 1 through 8. It reads, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health, as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And I want to stop there for now. We start in our reading here at the letter of John that he sent to a dear friend named Gaius. As we go through our studies, secular studies, we see that Gaius was a common Roman name, and we find out he was a prosperous man who John deeply loved and cared for. We read in the first two verses that John wished Gaius good health, good physical health, good spiritual health. Again, one thing that impressed me about this the most is that this man, that he had a wonderful reputation in the church, it says. We can see that through this passage. And he had a good reputation with those that he came in contact with. It describes in verse 3 that his brethren testified to his truth, meaning that they were talking about Gaius and the work that he had done in the growth of the church. And John mentions that he rejoiced greatly when he had heard from others how the truth was in Gaius. What does it mean, real quickly, what does it mean to have the truth in us? John 14 and verse 6, Jesus speaking here says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So when we put that verse together and with our topic today, we understand that having the truth in me is meaning that we have Christ in us. We are following Christ, and it can be seen in our actions. Gaius is an example worth following today. He had a great reputation with his fellow Christians, as well as the Apostle John. But I also want to point out what we learn in this passage, too, about John himself. John thought it was important to pray for the physical and spiritual needs. He prays that Gaius would prosper in all good things and have good health. We need to make prayer an important part in our lives. Praying for others' spiritual well-being, their strength, praying for their physical needs in their life. While we may certainly pray for our material prosperity, we need not to lose sight of the fact that our greatest need is spiritual, because that's what's going to last forever. That's what's going to get us our home in heaven. We need to be concentrating our efforts on prospering spiritually so that the Lord may bless us in His divine wisdom and grace, wisdom and grace, blessing us accordingly to our efforts. I want to move on, though, and read verses 9 through 10. You know, as before we get here, unfortunately, we talk about Gaius here, but unfortunately another man is mentioned here that we're going to describe in this letter that does not possess the same spirit and reputation as Gaius. And his name is Diotrephes. Verses 9 and 10 says, "I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church." Here is a man that is simply claiming to walk in the truth, but by his actions, he was destroying the church piece by piece. Listen again to this list that is mentioned about him individually. Likes to put himself first. Does not acknowledge the authority of the apostles. Talks wicked nonsense against the apostles or gossips against them. Refuses to welcome the brothers. Stops those and pushes Christians out of the church if they show that hospitality, if they welcome the brothers. Here is a man that in just two verses of the entire Bible is being described as his character. And this is the way he's remembered within just two verses. When I first read this, I almost read over it as it was just mentioning a specific issue here, which John was. He was talking about the atrophy being an issue and needed to work through that. But we need to look at the lesson from this verse, what it means to us. Do we see this list today? Do we see this list around us? Do we see this list within us? Is John describing you, or is he describing me? We live in what we call the me generation, where the spirit of Diotrephes is all around us. It should not surprise us when the church is so often influenced by the world, where people say, "But I want this. But I think this." There is no room in the kingdom for the me first mentality. Where this mentality exists is where sin, where more sin and more problems are bound to follow. But John simply writes that he does not receive us. But when I was reading this, I felt it's kind of incredible that one would refuse to accept and submit to the disciple that Jesus loved, and those who were apostles of the Lord, Jesus Christ. How could they reject Him and reject those individuals? Diotrephes, because of his love to be first, found no room in his heart for someone to be over him in matters of authority. We have to look at the problems with Diotrephes' character. First, he rejected the Apostle John's authority. Second, he sought to break fellowship between the church and John's. The motivation for this conduct was, again, his desire to be first. In other words, Diotrephes felt that his position in the church justified his actions. He was also acting for the purpose of protecting that position, doing anything that he had to in order to be in charge. He wasn't promoting Christ within the church, within the land. He was promoting himself In order to protect his position, he was gossiping maliciously about the apostles. This means he was intentionally telling things that were not true and doing it from a position of malice. Anytime we see a person who is acting in malice, we can know that he is not motivated by God. It is one thing to stand up for that which is right, but malice has no place in the life of a believer, and therefore malicious conduct is out of place. Diotrephes also had managed to block the church from fellowshipping and demonstrating hospitality to those who were representing the apostles. It wasn't enough to him to just stop people from showing their generosity, but yet he went a step further and even seek to push them out of the church, to drive them out of the church if they showed that generosity for the fellowship of the church. Imagine that for just a moment. Being thrown out of a congregation, being thrown out of the church for demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ, the example we're to follow. John declares strongly that when he comes in person, he will call attention to this man's sinful conduct. We also see the Apostle Paul, in examples, wasn't afraid to name names when he saw someone out or acting publicly in a wrong manner. Jesus himself taught us to bring disputes publicly to the church when our private efforts to resolve them have failed. His public conduct was, Diotrephes' public conduct was obvious for all to see, and John promised to further expose the sinfulness of this man's actions when he came. I'd like to look at verse 11 here real quick too. It says, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." Basically telling us, don't sink to his level. Don't be like Diotrephes. It is simple. It would have been simple for Gaius to act like Diotrephes. This is the temptation that many today would face when we find conflict in the church where it shouldn't be. When we return evil for evil, we are violating scriptural principles. Gaius is warned to recognize that Diotrephes is not acting and not speaking for God. His actions have demonstrated that he is not serving God, but he is serving himself. So does the spirit of Diotrephes appear today when Christians engage in malicious gossip? Are there some who feel that they are in a position of authority within the church, within the congregation, and they abuse it? Next, I want to look at verse 12. We see the third man. Verse 12 says, "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true." The third man mentioned here is Demetrius. Here is a man that John would encourage Gaius to pattern after and imitate because of his good nature toward godly manners. He also has an outstanding report from among the brethren, from the truth of God's word, and from John and all the surrounding apostles. Again, it is impressive to me that there is just one verse describing Demetrius. And we're told exactly who Demetrius was, and we are told so much of how we need to be, how we need to model ourselves after him. From my studies while putting this sermon together, it was believed that Demetrius was a courier and delivered the letters from the apostles and other congregations. It didn't really seem to be much at first, but when you really start thinking about it, in those days, if you think about, put yourself in that time frame, Christianity was not an accepted thing. It was not accepted. And if John or Paul or any other congregation had sent their message, their letters through the common carrier system, the likelihood of it being received probably would never make it there. But then the other side of that too, if it does make it there through the common carrier system, they could have easily changed the message so that those receiving the message would have gotten the wrong message. But if you have a man such as Demetrius who was respected and you knew that he stood for truth, then when he delivered a message from another congregation, from John, from Paul, you knew that message was true. So who do you try and reflect to be today? One who is encouraging to be around? Who is always striving to be or to help fellow man or other Christians? I'd like to turn to, I told you earlier that we were going to look at Philippians 2 again. I want to turn there and read this again in a different light, be in context with what we're talking about today. Philippians 2, verses 1, and we're going to read through 11 this time. Again, it says, Philippians 2 and verse 1, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing with self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only in his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Unlike Diotrephes, we need to lose that self-ambition and know that this life, everything that we do within our Christian walk today, is for God. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Are we trying to reflect someone that others can be proud to reflect and carry godly traditions on by being a wonderful example? I encourage you to be that person that those around you know and trust by the way of your life, the way you live your life. Be a Demetrius. Or are you reflecting one who is all about self and desire things that impact yourself? More importantly, what kind of example are we setting today? If John had written a letter today mentioning your name, would it have said that Jason, or what would it have said? Would it be for us to prosper? Would it have condemned us to be, have that desire to be number one? Or would it have said to set you as a trusted pattern for others to follow? Since it appears that we are creatures who will imitate something, let us make that choice to imitate the good. Only then do we have the hope of being of God. Only then can we have a testimony like that of Demetrius, to which all bore witness. Because the alternative is to imitate evil, which will prevent us from ever seeing God. John 3, the overall purpose is to confirm that Gaius did right in supporting fellow Christians who came his way and encouraged him to continue the hospitality. It also expressed the condemnation of Diotrephes for rejecting John and others who should have received and created a negative influence instead on the church. And then also, 3 John's purpose was to utilize the life of Demetrius and show Christians today how important it is to be in a good example. Let us strive after the spirit of those who welcome all with open arms and to be the best example we can be for the Lord, while putting aside, by putting behind us, all self-ambition. I'd like to close this morning by adding the words of the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 6. If you'll turn there with me as we close. I'd like to read verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Do you want to inherit the promise? Do you want to have a home in heaven? You don't want to have listed by your name a running list of sinful things like Diotrephes to keep you from entering into heaven. You don't have to have those things, but you simply have to continue sitting there in the seat and saying, I'm not going to become a Christian yet. The question is, why are we waiting? Do you not understand the importance? Do you think that you're too young and have time ahead of you? Or do you have that me first attitude, only concerned about what you want and pushing aside what God wants? I'm encouraging you, like John encouraged us in John 3, to not be a Diotrephes. Change your life today. Be baptized and start walking in the faith that leads to heaven. Again, we'd like to offer this time as a time of invitation for anyone that needs help and that would like to be baptized, as together we stand and sing.